Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall 34-10 to the Buffalo Bills, dropping to 1-5 on the season. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm okay.
Okay. We'll take that. I mean, your Yankees are in the World Series. You got to be fired up.
Exactly. I am incredibly fired up for that. I came back from Buffalo last night, which I don't know was advisable. Joe's probably done that a couple of times. But I think it worked out all right as long as I'm going right back to bed now.
Yes, yes, no doubt about that. So, PK, you know, I thought Titans, both offensively and defensively, did some good things in the first half. It totally flipped on them in the second half. You brought up a stat yesterday about just the second half woes of this team. They've got 12 points in the fourth quarter all year long, all coming in the Miami game. How do you explain just the total ineptitude of this team that is now stretched over multiple seasons and multiple coaching staffs and just the inability to get things going in the second half of football games?
I mean, it's really hard to figure out what's going on there, but it certainly seems like opponents do a better job figuring out things, getting into a flow, and countering what the Titans are doing as opposed to the Titans countering what the opponents are doing. And, you know, Vrabel kind of downplayed those adjustments, and Callahan downplays those adjustments, but you know, it's clear that the other team is doing a better job of figuring out what's going on in the game and finding flow in the latter parts of games, and the Titans are not. And yesterday we saw, you know, a good half by the Titans, as they are, amounts to 10 points. And then a good half by a team like the Bills amounts to 34. And that's how big the gap is.
So I would tend to believe, PK, that what the Bills did to the Titans in the second half yesterday was inevitable to some extent. But I do think that fourth and two call in their own end up early was – I didn't like it. I understand analytics will say, yeah, that's a go. I just – to me, that's okay. Analytics almost always says go, doesn't it? I feel like every time I look, it's like, yes, it's 58% go. Okay, but I mean – I hated the play call. They're not getting that. So how key do you think that moment was in what transpired afterward?
Yeah, it was an accelerant. I think the second half would have been bad. I don't think they would have won. But, it's kind of like pouring a bunch of gasoline on something. You pour a bunch of gasoline on the car and throw a match in it. There's no reason to do it there. And he didn't say it was a go. He said it was kind of a dealer's choice. So you get a dealer's choice there. Why take the chance of giving them the ball so close and igniting things for them when you're up 10-0? You got a good punter. The Buffalo hadn't driven the ball really or done anything. It seems very simple to just punt it, put them deep, and make them drive the ball to get things started for them, which I agree inevitably they were going to do, but make it hard for them to do it. And if that's a go on fourth and two at your own 44, then why isn't it a go on in the book? It said fourth and three. I think maybe it was fourth and a long two at Buffalo 7 when you yes. knew field goals weren't going to beat the Bills. And that was in the first quarter when you took a field goal. So I think it was also inconsistent. I don't know. I think he kind of got ants in his pants there and felt like he needed to make something happen, but definitely open the floodgates and really for everybody talking about his play calling, complaining about his play calling. I mean, that's the terrible play call yesterday that really, really hurt them.
So, PK, I'm under no illusion that Leroy Watson is a satisfactory long-term answer at right tackle. I will say, though, they did just come off their best week of pass protection in a long time last week against, albeit a shorthanded Indy front. But he's inactive yesterday. They end up going with Jalen Duncan, which did not last very long before he got hurt, and then Nicholas Petit-Frere in there. Is there any explanation as to what exactly happened with Leroy Watson, why he was inactive yesterday?
Well, I mean, I will say they came out of that game and they were not impressed with Leroy Watson to the degree that we were. You know, Indianapolis has a bad defensive front, and Levis was getting rid of the ball in Indianapolis that week, the fastest that anybody got rid of the ball in the league. So the fact that they didn't give up a sack that game was not as significant to the Titans because of the way that came to be. So, you know, they're a revolving door right tackle team right now. And your boy this afternoon is going to have a festival because he said we've got a right tackle problem right now. Prepare everybody, you know, get your blanket, cuddle up near the fire. You're going to hear the right tackle story. for him to go from starting to inactive is certainly odd. And then Duncan gets hurt in the first series, and you're back to Petit-Frere. So, you know, there are a whole bunch of odd things that went into this game, that being, you know, one of the primary things. The Levis story, you know, I don't think they're lying. They haven't lied. Get Callahan's an honest guy. And so the shoulder for Levis seemed like the bye week provided him with enough rest that it felt good enough to go. But coming off of the Colts game, without that rest, it didn't respond, and he wasn't able to show them what he needed to show them, and so they had to go with Rudolph, and now it'll be week to week. You would think he would have the sufficient rest now, not playing that game, but we'll see. But yesterday certainly should have quieted down some of the Rudolph people. The ball was on the ground a bunch, and it was hardly a dynamic offense.
Okay, so that was my question. If you buy the expectation, because you know there's going to be some talk this week of, oh, you know, Levis, they just don't want to play or whatever, which, again, to me is like, first of all, you know, again, Rudolph is not saving anybody here. Rudolph is not making anybody look way better. I would rest Levis and just bring him back whenever he's ready. I might not throw him to the Wolves, but I guess it's to the Lions this week because it's going to be nasty in Detroit. What do you think of that? I mean, is it in your mind just wait until it's all the way healthy and then just give him some more games and, you know, probably move on?
I don't think it'd be a terrible thing to wait. And maybe avoid a super difficult team there, and then you give it back to him. I mean, it's not the worst thing for a kid to sit. Overall, you know, these people have said, oh, he needs to sit for a month and learn behind Rudolph. I don't really agree with that. I mean, when you're on this limited timetable, the best way for a kid to learn is to play. But now that there's something that limiting him, conceivably, it would make sense for him to sit out until he's feeling, you know, closer to 100%. Nobody's 100%. And to avoid a, you know, particularly difficult matchup would be fine. But they've got so much to figure out with or without him, and it's just there's very little reason to be encouraged. And I think they've got a big Calvin Ridley problem.
Yeah,
I mean, I was asking, hey, what happened on that deep ball where you slowed down and lowered your hands? And he was like, yeah, I'm not sure which pass you're talking about. And I was like, you know, the one where you stopped running and you lowered your hands? And he's like, yeah, he acted like I was talking Chinese.
Yeah. The hit rate with him stays the same yesterday, PK. 9 targets, 3 catches. So at least they're consistent on not being able to get in the ball.
I think there were better targets yesterday. And look, there's one consistent thing in this whole Calvin Ridley thing, and it's Calvin Ridley.
On the Hopkins front.
I know a lot of balls have missed. I'm not saying that Levis has been super accurate to Calvin Ridley, but there's something weird. There's something weird with Calvin Ridley.
I would totally agree. On the Hopkins front, You know, he gets one catch for negative 2 yards yesterday, targeted one time, then he's on the sideline a lot toward the end of the game. Do you think, was that a signal to you that something may be coming this week? Do you think that this is a week where they consider moving DeAndre Hopkins, especially with some of the other needs that teams have around the league for wide receiver? What do you make of where things stand now with him?
Well, I mean, I think they certainly have to start considering moving anyone and everyone, but I don't think they're on the headset saying, get Hopkins out of the game because we're thinking about dealing him this week and we don't want anything to happen. You know, maybe something happened there. I heard on the telecast he slammed his helmet. Maybe he said something to somebody that upset. Callahan said, you know, I need to check with Todd, the trainer, to see what was up. He said I had a hiccup, you know, and just some soreness. So, you know, maybe they're covering for something there and that there was some kind of exchange that led to them pulling him out of the game for a time. But there was no headset communication that was like, hey, let's get Hopkins out of there so he doesn't get hurt so we could trade him. Nobody's thinking like that in the flow of a game.
Yeah, no, I mean, that totally makes sense. I guess it does seem like sometimes guys are dealt and they're used sparingly, you know, right before. But I guess it's basically like if you're really going to do that, then you're going to sit them all together, right? I mean, anybody can get hurt on any kind of play. But I also feel like, I mean, how surprised would you be if he's gone this week?
I wouldn't be surprised, but, the deadline is not until, what is it, November 4th?
I think
it lines up with Election Day. So, I mean, I think it would be more likely to happen, any of these deals would be more likely to happen near the deadline. And I don't have a lot of faith in them being able to get rid of guys. I mean, last year they only managed Byard, and I suspect that Ryan Cowden was helpful in that regard. I don't know that for sure. But look, they haven't been able to trade down in two drafts under Rand. Last year they needed to offload and they only managed one. They should have a fire sale now. They should deal three or four guys and just take their lumps because they want a big draft classes and they could – you know, help themselves here. And the prices on some of these guys are not that bad. Simmons is an absorbable contract. Landry is an absorbable contract. Hopkins is certainly an absorbable contract. But, you know, I'll believe they can pull off these deals when I see them pull off these deals.
PK, great stuff. Get you some rest, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday morning.
Look forward to it, boys. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.